Lord, when there's nothing else we can depend on, how good it is to know that we can depend on you. You've been our counselor when there was no one we could talk to. You've loved us through all the passages of our lives. You've given us wisdom to teach our children, strength to face the hard times, and joy all along the journey. We've learned that when things seem impossible, you're always up to something in our lives. But that something is eternal, and it's for our good. You truly have been our hiding place through all generations. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I'm so glad I learned to trust you. Now give me grace to trust you more.
And you're listening to Morning Devotions during the next 30 minutes. You hear me often say these words: "Every morning lean thine arms a while upon the windowsill of heaven and gaze upon thy Lord. Then with a vision in thy heart, turn strong to meet thy day." I believe that's the secret of Christian living, don't you? Life gets so frustrating, so confusing, so perplexing. But when you get down on your knees and humble your heart before God, especially first thing in the morning, and lean your arms upon heaven's windowsill, maybe during a devotional program just like this, whether you're kneeling down on your knees or your heart is kneeling, that's the important thing. You may be driving along in your automobile, but you're having these quiet moments before the day's business really gets underway, and you're looking through that open window into the face of the Savior, and you're receiving strength to cope with whatever life is going to dish out for you today. You'll have the strength. As David said, "In the day that I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul." I tell you, if there's anything we need today, it is the strength of the Lord in our hearts. "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Let the shield of faith ward off all the fiery darts of the wicked one." That's not within ourselves. That's with the armor that Jesus gives to us. That is the strength that God imparts. Lord, give us that strength today. as we meet with you in these early moments of the day. Let our hearts cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and worship you. And in that look, receive the strength from heaven that we need to cope with whatever life may bring to us today. In Christ's name. John said in the book of Revelation, "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever." What a vision John had. Do you know where he was? Out there on the Isle of Patmos, out in the stuck out there in the Mediterranean, out nowhere, exiled for the cause of Christ. But he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me the voice of Jesus like a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And he saw Jesus in all of his brilliancy and fell at his feet as dead. And the heavens opened and God revealed to John many things that would happen in the last days and in eternity. What a privilege it must have been for John to hear a voice of many angels giving their praise and worship to the Lamb of God. And the voice sounded like great thunder of water. And John said the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I want to join my voice with them, don't you? I want to join my voice in saying today, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. I know that a vast majority of people would rather just simply use the name of Jesus in profanity, use it in vain. I want to worship him, don't you? And the reason I want to worship him is because I believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, even as Peter said, when Jesus said to the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you are Elijah, some say you are John the Baptist, some say you are Jeremiah, but who do you say I am? And it was Peter who spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, said Jesus. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, born of the Virgin Mary, miraculously conceived of the Holy Ghost by Mary. He is the Son of God. That's why we worship him and adore him. I certainly would not worship any man, no matter how great he is. I'm not going to go around singing Abraham Lincoln, oh, how sweet the name, or George Washington, oh, how I love thee. No, you'd have to be the Son of God before I'm going to follow that one and give him total allegiance, all my heart, all my life. All my desires and affections belong to him because he was more than just a great teacher or a great example who lived in history. Once upon a time, he was God incarnate who tabernacled among us. John said, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. That's why I love him. And I want to join my voice with the thousands upon thousands of angels and say, worthy is the Lamb. If I had 1,000 melodies, it would be of Jesus. The song that I would want to sing would be that one of my Savior. If I had 1,000 melodies, it would be of Jesus. Let's worship him today, shall we, wherever you are.
I'd sing and never cease, how great my God. I'd sing of love, his wisdom, might, and power, each day and passing hour. I'd sing. I'd climb some mountain high, I'd sing into the sky, till heaven and earth would hear my song. If I could sing 1,000 melodies, I'd sing and never mercies, how great my God. If I could sing like one great symphony, my God would ever be my only song. My voice would break all barriers of sound to sweep the world around. I'd sing of him, I'd climb some mountain high, I'd sing into the sky till heaven and earth would hear my song. If I could sing a thousand melodies, I'd sing and never cease. How great my God.
I'm sure that you know not everything that calls itself Christian is Christian. There is and always has been and always will be a lot of deception, a lot of things that's phony and fake. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." That is simply amazing. The Bible forewarns us that there will be many deceivers, even disguised as ministers of the gospel, proclaimers of righteousness, the apostles of Christ. But they're not. Well, how do you know the difference? It's because we have a standard. We have a guideline. We have a rule book. It's called God's precious word. It isn't what I think. It is what God's word says. And whatever we believe and whatever our conduct is and whatever our behavior may be, it isn't whether or not it is acceptable to others or to myself. It is what is acceptable to God. What does God say? You know that verse in Psalm 119, 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Thank God we have an atlas, a road map. We have a compass. We're not groping in the darkness and confusion everywhere and we don't know right from wrong. We can know. In fact, we must know right from wrong, black and white. God speaks to us in clear notes, not as some confused sound, and you don't know whether or not to prepare for the battle or go into retreat. But clearly, God speaks to us. His word is our standard. But now, here is the dilemma. I know that the Bible is God's word, and I know it is the only standard, but the dilemma is, I cannot understand it unless God opens my eyes. You see, everything that calls itself Christian is based on Scripture. Of course, you have to twist it around and distort it a little bit in order to get your views across. But all the cults, all the deviations are based on the Scripture. They say God's word says this. Every denomination that has particular doctrines that they want to promote is based on the Scripture. In fact, I'll go so far to say that any deviant life that you want to live, anything you want to do, you can find a scripture for it. Of course, you have to take it out of context and you have to twist it around a little bit. So the dilemma is God's word is the standard, but we cannot understand it unless God opens our eyes. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Do you know that the Bible is a deadly weapon in the hands of the ignorant? And when I use the word ignorant, I'm not talking about schooling and education. I'm talking about the unlearned when it comes to spiritual things. If you don't know God, and of course, it is only the Holy Spirit of God that reveals the Word to you. And if you don't know God, but you read that book and you use it to your own destruction and your own detriment, how deadly it is. In order for God's Word to be the standard that it should be, we've got to understand it. Let me quickly give you three things that I believe are a prerequisite for understanding the Word of God. And of course, you have all kinds of divisions in Christendom. Everybody says we're right and you're wrong. I think you have to have these three things evident in your life before you are going to understand the Bible. Number one, you've got to be hungry. Nobody who approaches the Bible is going to get very much out of it, certainly will not understand it, unless they have a hunger and a thirst for God. Psalm 107, verse 9, "For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Proverbs 27, verse 7, "The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet." You know, somebody who is full of himself isn't hungry. If you're full of vanity, full of worldliness, full of your own self, you're not going to get anything from God, because you loathe the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Notice the hunger that Jeremiah expresses. Chapter 15 of his book, verse 16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Or the psalmist again in Psalm 119, verse 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." That's the kind of hunger that we need for God. I remember hearing a story of a young man who wanted wisdom. And he went to this old sage for counsel, and the old man was going to tell him how to get wisdom. He said, "You come and meet me at the riverbank about this time tomorrow, and I will teach you how to get wisdom." And the young man came down to the riverbank, and the old man took him into the river and ducked him under the water and held him there until the poor young fellow began fighting and struggling to get up, gasping for air. And when he came up out of the water, he was so angry. He said, "I thought you were going to teach me how to get wisdom, and here you nearly drowned me." And the old man said, "Son, when you become as desperate for your want of wisdom as you were for wanting air, you'll find it." I think there's a lot of truth in that. When you get so hungry for God, you become desperate for him. You say with the psalmist, "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath to thy precepts." When you get that hungry for God, you're going to find him and understand him. Secondly, we have to approach the word of God in a spirit of meekness, a teachable spirit. Psalm 25, verse 9, "The meek will he guide in justice, and the meek will he teach his way." Who's going to learn? Who's going to be taught the treasures of heaven? Not the high and mighty, not the proud, not the know-it-all, not the one who thinks he or she has all the answers, but the meek, the humble, the one with a teachable spirit, the one who sits as a pupil at Jesus' feet and says, Lord, I know nothing as I ought to know. Teach me. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verses 25 and 26, At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now isn't that amazing? You can go to college, you can go to seminary, you can read the Bible through, you can know Hebrew, Greek, you can increase in knowledge, and if your heart isn't right with God, if you're not hungry for God, and if you don't come with a teachable spirit, you'll never understand the Bible, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. For these things are hidden from the wise and prudent, and they are revealed to babes. Lord, I'm just a babe in Christ. I sit a learner at your feet. Teach me. I know nothing as I ought to know. That's the attitude that we need. Pride clouds the mind and blinds the eyes, making it difficult to comprehend the word. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the Bible says. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you get humble before God, you'll begin to understand his secrets. And number three, there must be obedience in our lives. If you're going to understand the Bible correctly, there must be obedience to God's word. John 7, verse 17, If any man will do the will of my Father, he shall know. There has to be total honesty with God, complete obedience to his will, no compromise with sin, no idol kept on the throne. I really believe that a lot of error in a lot of cults comes from the very fact that we keep some idol on its throne. We keep some pet sin stuck away in some hidden corner of our heart, and we give it license. If you do that, you open yourself wide open to error of all kinds. There has to be a total surrender to Jesus Christ. You cannot make excuses for the bitterness that's not forgiven, for the lust that's not cleansed, for any compromise with the world. It has to be a total surrender to God. 1 Peter 1, verses 14 through 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of life, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And as you endeavor to be obedient to the Lord, not in a legalistic sort of way, but simply because you love Jesus and you want to walk in his ways, and as you obey him, and you're humble, and you're hungry for God, you're going to learn the secrets of his precious word. Well, I wish I had about 30 more minutes, but my time is gone. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. Walk with God. Love him with all your heart. Read his word and let the Holy Spirit teach it to you and apply it. Have a good day.
The early Christians scattered o'er the world. They preached the gospel fearlessly. Though some were martyred and to lions hurled, they marched along in victory. Come, Holy Spirit, dark is the hour. We need your filling, your love and your mighty power. Move now among us, stir us, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, revive the church today. When darkness gripped the earth, the just shall live by faith was learned. The Holy Spirit gave the church new birth as Reformation fires burn. In
later years the great revivals came, when saints would seek the Lord and pray. Oh, once again we need that holy flame to meet the challenge of today. Church today.